pastors have the privilege of hearing many different stories of how people come to know and follow Jesus. Some of those stories are told as people prepare to join the church. Some of them emerge only after people have been part of a church community for a while and feel comfortable sharing the particulars of what or who introduced them to Jesus of Nazareth or encouraged them to be his disciple. Often people say it was somebody else's testimony or invitation. That's what happened to Simon in today's gospel. His brother Andrew, having met Jesus, went to find Simon and announced, "We have found the Messiah." And Simon decided to meet Jesus for himself. But sometimes it's a question that draws people to Jesus. A question they've been chewing on for years, or a question they didn't even realize was theirs, like the question Jesus asked in today's story. Is there something I'm doing that's getting that feedback? Hopefully that's helpful to you and to me. Jesus seemed to like questions and to like asking them himself, as we heard earlier. You know, that fact that in the four Gospels, he asked a question more than 300 times, and that's not counting the questions that Jesus always asked after he told a parable. Today's gospel contains the very first question that Jesus asks in the Gospel of John. Now, a Messiah and a Savior who asks so many questions might not seem like the one to follow. Is Jesus asking so many questions because he doesn't know the answers? Is Jesus trying to show off to impress us into believing because he can answer so many of his own questions? Is Jesus asking us questions to see if you and I can qualify for discipleship? And if so, can we make the cut? Or is Jesus trying to shame us or show us up to expose the fact that we haven't got a clue, no less the correct answer to important questions of faith and life? Well, if those are any of your worries or suspicions, today's gospel can put them to rest, because it shows us a Jesus who isn't interested in playing stump the chump with unsuspecting human beings. Instead, we find a Jesus who is genuinely interested in questions for their ability to draw us to God, which, of course, is God's dearest hope and Jesus' own mission. In today's gospel story, John the Baptizer shared with two of his disciples what had been revealed to him about Jesus, that he was the Lamb of God. Hearing this, the two turned and followed Jesus, a sign of their curiosity and interest in Jesus, and an indication that in what John said about Jesus, they found something that connected with their deepest hopes and desires. Jesus, turning around and seeing the two following, stopped and asked them a question. What are you looking for? This was a question that revealed Jesus' interest in them, a question designed to draw them out about their hopes and dreams and desires for a Messiah and for themselves. Those two were caught off guard by Jesus' question, so they answered with a question of their own, Teacher, where are you staying? To us, that question seems a little strange. Why were they asking Jesus' address when Jesus had just asked about their deepest hopes and dreams? When Jesus had asked the original seeker's question, if you will. But lo and behold, without knowing it, their answer was one that Jesus could work with. Because Jesus wasn't looking for the right answer. Jesus was looking for a person who somewhere deep inside was yearning for a relationship with God, who wanted to live in the presence of God, in the very heart of God, who understood that to be in relationship with Jesus was the way to address life's deepest questions and discover the way, the truth, and the life that they'd been seeking. Of course, the writer of the fourth gospel has prepared us for this from the very first verses of his gospel, where we find Jesus described as pitching his tent among us, living with us and among us to let his light shine, illuminating the heart of God. Because the answer that the world needs isn't a dictionary word or a scholarly thesis. It's the Word made flesh, who we know not in facts or in dogma, but in relationship. That's why Jesus answered, "Come and see." Yes, he invited them to the place where he was staying, but he also invited them to so much more, to life together with the one with whom, from whom, and through whom they would discover their true questions and their true answer, Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. "Come and see," Jesus said. He knew that it was what these two human beings would see and experience with him that would form them and fill them and draw them to give themselves to God and to the world that God loves, even as Jesus did. Because we remember how, in the end, Jesus was willing to let the house of his body be torn down, so that the house of love would never be lost. And when Jesus hung on the cross, Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple whom Jesus loved, "Son, here is your mother." Jesus didn't die without making a home for those he loved. And when he rose, Jesus returned to announce that the house of love still stood and to send disciples out to invite the whole world to come and stay, to come and see their deepest desires, love, peace, justice, mercy, joy, fulfilled. In today's story, the gospel writer tells us the two disciples came and saw where Jesus was staying and remained with him that day. The rest of the fourth gospel is the story of how Jesus came and remained with his disciples, not just a day, but forever. How he's with you and me still in the waters of baptism, and in the Word, and under bread and wine, continuing to welcome us into his house, which is not so much a place as a relationship, everlasting friendship with God. Jesus welcomes questions. Jesus uses questions. Jesus gives us questions to show us how to follow him in love. Tomorrow we will commemorate Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., remembering that great prophet and justice maker and disciple of Jesus. Dr. King didn't run away from the questions, and he learned to ask the questions Jesus showed him. Questions that shone a light on what following Jesus means for us and all our neighbors. He often asked the same simple questions that Jesus asked, questions that in their simplicity often became the hardest questions, that disturbed some people, but comforted many others, and encouraged them to live out their faith boldly, even sacrificially. Once, when he was reflecting on the parable of the Good Samaritan, Dr. King wrote, "The first question which the priest and the Levite asked was, 'If I stop to help this man, what will happen to me?' But," Dr. King said, "the Good Samaritan reversed the question. 'If I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him?'" Is this not the story of the different reactions, some deadly, some saving, that we're seeing in what is happening in Minnesota and elsewhere in our country right now? What might happen if we all, whatever our status or office or lack of it, our political views, or our place in the community, what if we were to ask the question the Good Samaritan asks? Now that you and I are at home with God, we are called to turn and see who is following us, who's looking for an invitation. Now at home with God, who is at home with questions, we are called to encourage other people's questions, to make a home for them in this community, to provide a safe place to discover, ask, and explore what they're looking for which at its core is the desire to be in relationship with God, a desire planted in every one of God's creatures. Now we prepare to eat and drink the meal that binds us anew to God and God to us, and gives us power to go and tell the world, "We have found the Messiah," which is never the end, only the beginning of lifelong friendship and dialogue with God and with one another. Thanks be to God, and welcome home.